This morning, listen, Simon is leading the children. He comes up to me before church. I mean, he had a grin from past this ear to this ear, and he handed me his third matching fund. So I don't know where you are, I don't know where I am, but Simon is probably ahead of you. And I said, Simon, pray for everybody. Because we're, and I could hear the grumbling when you're not getting hamburgers, you know, this week. How come we're not getting hamburgers? Anyway, no, I'm kidding. It's really great. And it's so neat to see the children. And I think one of the great privileges in life as a human being is to be a parent and to have children. And it's funny, you know, we grow up and wonder what our children will look like or what will happen and all of that. And then one day it's upon us and you've got these rugrats running around everywhere. And it's an amazing thing that God does. And this morning I wanted to, I called him several weeks ago and asked Thomas Hernandez to share. Thomas is a dear friend. He is born in San Antonio, Texas. And then Ed and Lynn Priester, you'll be happy to know, he moved to Minnesota, up there, way up high in Minnesota. And he was a youth pastor, I believe it was a Lutheran church, for a season. Somewhere during that time frame, got married and moved back to San Antonio and has worked with youth. He's a businessman now, working in computer-related industry. All you have to do is say technologies, okay? But all I know is he can work from anywhere, so I think it must be a computer. Either that or the police are looking for you. but he's a wonderful man. He's great friends with a number of the young men here in the church, and he's married with three children. And for those of you that may not know, this was about 6 months ago. His wife, who is a fireball, type A, just full of zest, her name is Beth, was driving carpool, I think. And anyway, she was an accident, but she ended up tumbling out of the car, and the car ran over her, and she was, they thought maybe she'd be paralyzed for the rest of her life. That was 6 months ago, right before we went back. And Thomas was amazing because he somehow managed the whole thing and put it together. But I asked him, how many of you remember that when we were praying for Thomas? And yeah, okay, well, I want you to, you know what's good about prayer is to come and see the fruit of it and hear it. So Thomas Hernandez, come and speak, me friend.
All right. Good. All right. Well, when Kevin called me and asked if I would share, I thought he kind of meant would I stand up and greet you guys and just kind of give a quick testimony. So I'm a little bit embarrassed because I have 5 minutes of something to say. So if you guys would just join me in 25 minutes of silence. So sorry. Or 25 minutes of laughter would be sufficient. You know, appreciate it. So I want to share a couple of things. One, your church family here has always been very gracious to me, and I feel like this is home away from home, and I appreciate the hospitality of this church, I know, as everybody does. And Nortons are always quick to open their house to us, and that's right. Not only are they willing, but they're forceful about it. Every time I'm at their house, like, I sleep really well. Last night I slept like a princess. In Naomi's bed. Has drapes. so... You know, I'm married. We have 3 young children, 8, 6, and 3. And I always just kind of carry something around with me, you know, in my heart, just of who they are. But I realized this morning as I reached in my pocket, put my pants on, that I also carry some things around that belong to them. So I found this pink sock. It's the Princess and the Frog sock. So I don't know where the other one is, but I may find that on my way home. So anyway, I appreciate your guys' faithfulness and prayer for us, and I want to share some things. I want to share with you guys some scripture references just to get a basis of where I'm coming from as I tell you this story. So, all right. So all joking aside, my wife, when she was 2, accepted the Lord. And when she was 4, was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Which I always thought was weird because I don't remember anything from when I was 2 or 4, but she can tell me the entire story of what happened. She's got an amazing memory and an amazing relationship with the Lord. She's actually been a Christian longer than I've been alive, and that's probably the grace of God on her because she leans on him a lot when I fail her. So, all right. So here we are. If you have a Bible, I'm gonna just kind of go through a couple of things. Just a few things, Genesis to Revelation. It's true actually. Okay. So here we are in Genesis 2, 17. 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." So he tells this to the man, and then in Genesis 2:23, the man said, "This is now bone of my bones," talking about Eve, "flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and not ashamed." And then in Genesis 3:1-7, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord had made, and he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat of you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will surely die.' And the serpent said to the woman, 'You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil.' And when the man saw that the tree was good for food, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from it, fruit and ate, and gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings." Dennis is offered to correct my theology. That'll be next week. And if it's really bad theology, you might get also In-N-Out Burger next week as an apology. But we know that Adam and Eve were disobedient. They were disobedient because they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That it was before that, they were naked and not ashamed. After that, they knew they were naked. They knew, and they knew it was a bad thing. And before that, good and bad didn't matter. And so in my life now, as I think about, you know, was this thing that happened here or that thing that happened there? Was that a good thing or a bad thing? And the Lord has really impressed on me, it's none of my business. It's none of my business if it's good or bad. That's not my judgment call to make. It's none of my business. I follow him. So I can look back at some of the events that have happened in our life and that are happening in our life, and I can and people of the world would say, what a terrible thing. But in my heart, I have to say, it's none of my business. I follow him, and he is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Psalm 126:5, those who sow in tears will reap with joyful shouting. I'm reading some of these verses, and I'm going to refer to them later once we are kind of sharing the testimony of what all is going on. Just so, again, you can get some of these verses you've heard 100 times, and I had heard 100 times, but they mean something different to me now than they did beforehand. But I was prepared in my heart with those verses so that at those times the Lord could say, this is written on your heart. And then then now we take ownership over those things in different ways. Those who sow in tears will reap with joyful shouting. 2 Corinthians 12:8-9. Concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that this might leave me. I'm just going to read from that so that we're all reading the same thing. And then the next verse is, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. His grace is sufficient for me. I remember distinctly when Cade was going through the very beginning processes, and I thought to myself, what would I do in that? I have no idea what I would do. How do they do it? And their spirit was, well, his grace is sufficient for me. And if I would have seen somebody in my situation whose wife was paralyzed and in this car accident and that kind of thing, I would have said, I have no idea how I would handle that. I would fall apart. But he's given me a measure of grace that's sufficient for me. 2 Corinthians 10:5. This has been a life verse for us. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Beth always talks about a cage, and that in this cage is where those thoughts need to go. They need to be locked up in the cage. And if these negative thoughts, if these attacks from the enemy come every hour, then every hour I take them and I put them in the cage. And if they come every minute, then every minute I take them and I put them in the cage and make them submit to the obedience of Christ. And if they come every second, then every second we take those thoughts and we put them in the cage and subject them to the truth of Christ. And then Revelation 12:11. They overcame the adversary by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and that they did not love their life even when faced with death. We've been faced with physical death in this, but we trust him. But even more so than that, the blood of the Lamb, we're going to overcome the adversary because we are under the blood of Jesus. And in these testimonies that I'll be giving today, and in the testimony of our life, we can testify of, look what the Lord has done. Now, those two things are great, but to overcome the adversary, you have to be able to not love your life even unto death. I loved being able to have 2 cars and have kids in sports and have, we have 2.5 kids. My little one is really a half a person. We don't have the white picket fence, but our life was good, and I loved it, but I don't love it more than I love him. And so, since I don't, I'm willing for that old model of what our life was to die. When faced with death of that old model, my option right now is not how do I get back to that old thing, but how do I walk into, behold, I'm doing a new thing. All right, so this is the context of where I'll be sharing our testimony from. So, and I'll probably throw out a couple of verses later too. But we have some video and some photos, and I'm just going to kind of talk you through them. This is in the ICU, right after the accident. You see road rash on Beth. She broke every other rib on each side. And they said that it's really unheard of. And had she broken every rib on one side or the other side, probably her lungs would have collapsed. I told her, look really pathetic because we're going to use this later. So she did great. You could see it looks like she's wearing like a ridiculous amount of eyeliner. But she hit her face on the door on her. Okay, let me explain what was happening. She was making dinner in the crock pot, and she was cutting jalapenos and chicken and all that. And she was getting all the kids ready to go pick up my son at school. So she says, "I better wash my hands before we go." So she's washing her hands. She's going to take Caleb, our oldest, to take everybody to the YMCA, and Caleb loves going to the YMCA. So she's chopping up all that kind of thing. She washes her hands. She grabs all the stuff. She goes out the door. She goes, and she's late as usual, though she's white, mostly Irish. She is very much Hispanic in her culture. So she married into what was rightfully so. And so she's late. And she's kind of in a hurry, so she goes, she picks Caleb up, and all the other kids are gone, you know, so it's just Caleb, and Caleb is very embarrassed when he's the last one to be picked up. So she's driving out of the parking lot, and she starts to get this itch in her eye. So she reaches up, and she scratches her eye, and it just starts on fire from the, there's still residue from the jalapenos. So she pulls the car over, and she puts it in park, she opens the door, she grabs a water bottle, and she's going to flush it out. So she opens the door, she swings her legs, and when she swings her legs, turns out that instead of putting it in park, she put it in reverse. And so she takes her foot off the brake and to swing around, and the momentum of the car pushes her out. At that point, she hits her head and on the door, and she kind of slams to the ground. That's where she breaks her, or she also broke her clavicle. Breaks every other rib on the way down, and then the Lord just spins her and turns her onto her back, which we know it was the hand of God. We know that if that were not to happen, she surely would have died. So because she ends up on her back, the car comes to rest on her leg, still in reverse, and my two boys are in the car. My little girl is at home with me. So she starts yelling for Caleb, and Caleb runs out, and he runs around the car, and he sees his mom underneath the car, you know, and she says, "Caleb, I need your help." And so, and she's crying out to the Lord, and she says, "Caleb, I need you to go get help." And he says, "Mom, I'm scared. I don't know what to do." And she says, "I know you're scared, but you need to be brave. I need you." And so Caleb, he says, "Okay," and he starts running. Because all the teachers are now gone since she was so late. She starts running to go get help and ultimately saves her life. About the same time, our pastor's wife, who also runs late, is coming to pick up her daughter, who's a little bit older, and she sees Beth, and so she gets out of the car, and she's like, you know, this is terrible, and she calls me, and meanwhile, the car is still in reverse, so these men come, and she's like, "You need to take this car off of me." And they say, like, "No, we can't do anything until the paramedics get here." And she's saying, "Please have mercy on me." And so they finally, one of them gets in and puts it in neutral, and they push it off of her. So so that's that situation. They call me. I rush out of the house. I grab my daughter. I'm not really clear what's happening. I just hear, Thomas, it's bad. You need to come. So I come. I take my daughter to my in-law's house, and I speed down there, and I get there, and they're putting her in the ambulance, and they say, you know, who are you? And I say, I'm the husband. They say, do you have an ID? So I'm like looking, and no, I don't. But everybody there knew who I was, so they let me in. So I went to talk with her, and she's crying, and she's saying, I'm sorry, you know. And she's apologizing to me, and she's telling me how scared she is. So we pray there in the ambulance. I ask them where they're taking her, and they say they're going to take her to SAMHSA, San Antonio Military Medical Center, which is a level one trauma center. It's where they take all the people from Iraq and Afghanistan with these major traumas, and they get them there. We're not military, but in order to be a level one trauma center, you have to let civilians in. So they take her down there. But since it's on a base and I don't have my ID, I have to go home first. But it was the grace of God, because I would have followed that ambulance all the way down. My pastor's wife was going to take our kids. So when the ambulance left, I went up to go see our kids, and I asked my three-year-old, you know, hey, you know, Levi is his name, how's it going? And he said, you know, I'm playing on the playground, you know, like he is a three-year-old. So I realized he was okay, and I asked Caleb, are you okay? And he, like, comes up to me, and he's just trying to hold it together, and he falls apart, and he said, I'm scared, you know. And so I remember at that point that Paul Petrie tells a story about him and Philip in the hospital after Rebecca has her accident, and he tells Philip, don't view God through the lens of this circumstance. And that comes to mind, and it's that had been written on my heart for a long time. So I share that with Caleb, you know, God is going to take care of us. He's going to take care of Mom. Everything is going to be fine. And so I hug him and hold him and pray with him. I go home, I go to the hospital, and I show up to her in the hospital, and she's still apologizing to me. And it's weird because I can't figure out why she's apologizing, but she feels like this shame, you know. So we just tell her, no, like that's of the enemy, and we just start praying about it, and praying for her, and she gets going along. She ends up crushing her T11 and pinching her spine. And so they had to go in the next day for emergency surgery and put in rods and pins and reconstruct a little bit. So this time she's in the ICU where nurses are on for 12 hours at a time. And they have each patient has a dedicated nurse. And she gets this nurse. She gets a nurse who is kind of a younger girl. She gets two nurses who actually are younger girls who are doing this rotation. And one of them at one point is, Beth is there, you know, with all these tubes in her, and one of them is having relationship issues, and she's talking to one of the other nurses in the room, and the nurse gives her some really terrible advice. So then that lady leaves, and, you know, Beth calls her over, and she says, can I pray for you? And so she starts praying for this nurse in the ICU. That nurse just starts weeping and just is emotional. And she's saying, you know, I'm supposed to be here taking care of you, and this is what's happening. And so then the other nurse, turns out she is going to a church that was planted by a guy that was really instrumental in leading me to the Lord. And so there's this neat thing that happened. Also about this time, found out that she had some fluid and her spleen was lacerated. And so we're trying to decide if she was going to have surgery. I'd had a reoccurring dream, nightmare really, that she had died in a car accident before this. And so when this happened, it was really intense for me. But when I knew she would live, I was okay. But when they told me about the spleen, I said, well, what does that mean? And they said, well, it means that anytime she has a fever for the rest of her life, you have to go to the ER. And I thought, I can still lose her 6 years from now because of this car accident. And so By the grace of God, that did not happen. So she was in the ICU for a couple weeks, then got out of the ICU, started some rehab, and rehab was just sitting her up for a few minutes at a time, and that was just super painful. Let's go to the next thing here. So this is at the rehab center doing inpatient rehab. They have this machine where it basically stands her up. So she was paralyzed from the waist down during this time. But they have her tied into this machine so that she can start bearing weight, hopefully that the neurons would start firing and saying, oh, this is what I'm made to do. So this physical therapist is amazing. She's a Mormon, and Beth has been ministering to her for months and months, and it's unbelievable. At one point, she said to Beth, I'm supposed to teach this week at church on love. She said, what would you say? And so Beth got to share that with her, and then she said to Beth, half-jokingly, would you be willing to come and just teach the class for me? So that did not happen, but she was, her heart is super genuine, and she's really seeking the Lord, and Beth is really piercing her with the Holy Spirit. It's really a neat, neat situation. She's no longer our physical therapist because she does inpatient rehab, but we're still rehabbing at the same place. And when Beth got a new physical therapist, she called Beth that night and she said, hey, how do you feel it went? And Beth was like, well, I don't know. And she said, I'm not supposed to do this because it really breaks the rules and I could be fired, but you need to ask for another physical therapist because the one that you're using has never worked with a spinal cord injury. And so the girl was good, but she just didn't know what she was doing, a spinal cord injury. So now we have this other girl who is also amazing. The new girl, by the way, just found out Friday that you know, our insurance is about to run out on how many therapy days that we can have. And so we're trying to fight for more days. And we're trying to decide, do we just pay out of pocket for her to keep going? And the new physical therapist said Friday, if the insurance doesn't approve it, let me know, and I'll just come to your house for free. And they this physical therapy place is 45 minutes away from us. And so she probably lives in that area, 45 minutes to an hour away from us, and she's offering to come and do the rehab for free, which is amazing. So that was September 19th was the accident. September 20th was the surgery. October 14th or so was ACM last year. And during one of the meetings, I get a text message from her, and she says, I can move my toe. Or she said, my toe is moving, you know. And she had been paralyzed. She could feel heat, but she couldn't do anything. So I said, is it moving on purpose? You know, and she said, yes. So she sends me a video, which I should have put up here. She sends me a video, and it's like, it looks like a picture, but then you notice, like, there's just one little movement, and I just start falling. I mean, I fall apart at that point. So I end up, I think I grabbed some guys that night, and we went out there to go be with her. So took some of the ACM guys. We went down there. By the time we get there, there's more movement, and you start praying. It's like a really neat ministry time. And Beth is like a superstar in the rehab place. And all of a sudden, these, like, you know, 15 guys are like walking in to come visit Beth. And so they prayed for her. And, you know, it was really a neat time of ministry. The Holy Spirit was present. By the next day, her ankle was moving. And the weird thing is that the leg that the car came to rest on is the one that's responding better right now, and always has. It's just been not outpacing, it just started earlier. So let's go to the next one. Those are the two boys here have traded personalities. The one on the top left is Caleb. He's really our hero. And is very calm and tame and that kind of thing. This is their first visit to us, and they're sitting in the wheelchair. We just want them to be real familiar with the things that are happening, and they took to it great. Caleb was dealing with some kind of like separation anxiety, But we've prayed through a lot of that, and he's doing amazing. The other two just want to be want to have affection, so that's super easy. So they don't see mom any differently than they did before. They don't respond to her any differently. Lena is on the right, and Levi is in the middle. And Levi is not completely human. So I'm so sorry. He's part human and just in part energy. So, all right, next one. This is our first date. We made it out. I broke her out of the inpatient rehab, and we went out on a date. We went to the movies. Quick side note, don't ever sit in a handicapped seating at the movie theater. It's just rude, unless of course, you're handicapped. So, if you don't have a physical handicap and you're sitting there, I just assume you have a mental handicap. So, and people, the thing is that people go and they sit in those chairs because they're actually like really nice. You're in the perfect spot, you know, but they won't move, and it's really weird. And so, so we've gone to the movies a few times, and I've sat on the floor, I've sat on the stairs, and I've sat in. I gave her my chair one time, and I sat in her chair. So, anyway, pray for me. When we go to the movies, that I don't, that I represent the kingdom of God. All right, next one. We have another, I think we have videos coming up here shortly. This is a video. I don't mind. This is a video. And this is when she first started being able to move her leg. This is in late October, early November. So we were pumped about that. Okay. This is when she first started being able to bear weight and starts taking her first steps. And that's our amazing physical therapist, the one that was with the inpatient. So this was pretty painful. But Beth is very type A and is determined to walk. This is the machine that we went there for. It's called an ambulator. And they harness her in, and then it makes her legs move the way that they're supposed to move so that it fires. And this is a proprietary. They even have a piece that will hook onto your calves, and it will walk for you, to really teach your legs what they're supposed to do again so you can relearn it. This is from Friday. She's just practicing standing still and kind of having her own balance and that kind of thing, which is super exciting. She's primarily in a walker now, but this is just a week ago started using a cane at physical therapy. And now, one thing I didn't mention, during the surgery, the type of injury she had, they call it Asia B, and they say with the Asia B, there's only 20% chance you'll ever walk again. But after surgery, they told me there's only 10% chance she's ever going to walk again. But we wouldn't know anything for 2 years. So here we are 6 months later. And she is amazing. Let's see. Are there other things there? Okay, great. So in the rehab center, we ended up being there for Thanksgiving. And so instead of doing what we would normally do for Thanksgiving, I called people from the church family and her family and my family, and I said, we're going to do Thanksgiving at the rehab center. So Beth writes out handwritten invitations to every patient and every nurse and every employee of the facility. And we show up and we have so much food. It's just unbelievable. Everybody is coming through, all the nurses, the kitchen staff is coming. Everybody is coming through and eating, and they're emotional because if they didn't have this, they would have just been eating by themselves in their room. And it was one of the saddest things that I could imagine to do during a time of when you're supposed to be thankful. And so Beth is always making friends, and they love her there. One of the nurses at that point said, "I've been a nurse for 30 years, and I've never seen anything like this." When we came and we did the Thanksgiving meal. Now, going back to SAMC and seeing these doctors again, when we first were going with the neurosurgeons, they kind of kept an arm's distance. They don't want to be emotionally attached to the situation, because if it doesn't get better, they just don't want to carry it. I appreciate all of that. When they told me there was only 10% chance of she'll ever walk again, I didn't tell her. I didn't think she needed to know that. So I did call to put our house on the market and for my realtor to start looking for another house, because we live, our house has all of our bedrooms upstairs and only a half bath downstairs, so we couldn't live at home. Currently, we're living with my parents, and we're renovating our house. There's a lot of neat stories about that, too, where the Lord is really showing up, and Philip Petrie has gotten American Standard to donate some items for the renovation, and we might be getting I was going to say cheap labor, but not like the kind that you might think of when you say cheap labor. Like, not child labor, but people, a company is offering to come and basically help put that in, sister company of Philip Petrie's. Where are we? Oh, neat. All right. So, in the end, every day is hard. We don't live at home, and it's hard, but His grace is sufficient for us. Was this good or was this bad? It doesn't matter. It's none of my business. We follow Him. We've seen Him show up. People are coming to know the Lord. There was one moment where this girl comes in, and she's an old friend of ours, and she's sitting down at Beth's side in the rehab place, and she says, "I'm watching what's happening to you, and I'm realizing how much the Father loves me." And I thought, and Beth said to me at that point, like, "My broken body is leading people to the Father." And I thought, well, if that's not walking in Christ's footsteps, then what is? So we're on a significant path. The testimony is not over. The doctors are now saying, as of December, they're saying 100% recovery. We just had our last visit. They kick civilians out after 6 months, sort of. We just had our last visit, and they were like, "Can we hug you?" You know, and they were just pumped. And so they're telling us, even though this is technically your last visit, we want to sneak you in and just keep following up with you. So those things obviously would be free, because they can't bill our insurance for things that we're not supposed to be doing. And then the Christopher Reeves Foundation has been doing tests on her, and they poke her with pins, and they do like a one, okay, they say this is normal, and then they poke her everywhere else, and they're saying, is it normal or diminished? And so they scale her on a 1 to 5, and basically it's everything is 5 up here, and then it's like 4, and then there's some 5s down here, and then on the feet there's some 4s, but nothing lower than a 4. And then the other thing that they do is they do some resistance testing. And again, 1 to 5. And all the resistance stuff is greater than a 4. So it's pretty remarkable. And we know that it had to be the hand of God. And I'll bring her out. You guys can see her for yourself someday. And she'll... we'll kind of share with you where more of that testimony is at that time. So if you guys would just be praying for us specifically, just that we would be able to move into our house relatively soon, and that we would have wisdom. Beth kind of homeschools our two youngest ones, and have wisdom on what to do with them school-wise, and have wisdom on what to do as far as continuing therapy and that kind of thing. That's really where we are. And, of course, that, you know, if you pray that she'll walk again, she's going to walk again, so you guys get to be a part of that if you pray. So thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your willingness. Thank you for your attention. And Kevin's coming up to correct my theology.
Give me the mic. I don't know if I've ever heard it right like that. When you have a trauma that you say, it's none of my business. It's powerful. It's powerful. And Mike is with the kids. Well, then you just come up, Aaron. I want you to pray for Thomas and Beth. Let's stand. And Pat, work your way up here, please. I think one of the things that we all recognize is how vulnerable we are. Well, even though we're independent, we're headstrong, and we think we're in charge, just a mother cutting up a jalapeno on a normal day, driving her kids to the Y, and their whole life is different now. And then finding God through that, and God finding them, and the kingdom of God going, through brokenness. And so I think, Aaron, you're about as qualified as anybody here to really pray for God's direction and provision. Thomas has told me more where things have just come from the right or the left that they had no way of knowing to get him through this, his work. And but three small children without their mom being able to move around, the community there has stood with them. And so, Aaron, why don't you just lead us and just extend your hand towards the family.
Well, Lord Jesus, we do. We just are so honored to know the Hernandez family and to be surrounded by this couple that doesn't just say the words, but they're living testimonies. Lord, I pray that as Thomas has poured himself out today, that he would be refilled with the power of your Holy Spirit. I ask, Lord, that you would fill him afresh and anew, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, that every day that he pours himself out for his family, for Beth, loving her in ways that she had never wanted or expected, I just ask, Lord, that you would fill him, that there would be a wind at his back, that things that used to be so difficult, he would start enjoying. The things that used to be so mundane would be highlights. I ask for the time as a couple, Lord, that nothing would be lost. Nothing would be lost. Everything would be added. Everything in the relationship would be added. I ask, Lord, that this moment would be a moment in their children's lives of, look what God did. Lord, we stand in that, and we thank you for this dear family and say, look what you did. You are so good. You are so good. All the time in the middle of it, we don't understand, but we don't have to. We see God's hand. I thank you for that. I thank you for the precious children. I pray that their faith would rise when they're at school and they're around their friends and their friends start talking about things. They would say, well, I have a story. My mom wasn't supposed to walk. And I pray that their hands would be used to heal. And I just thank you for the salt that was added to our body today. I thank you through sacrifice, through tears, through pain, Thomas shared, because this isn't a cheap thing to do. There's a great cost. And I thank you. So all that we have as a body, in Jesus' name, we pour blessing on him. We pour blessing on him. We thank you, Lord. What an honor to walk in your kingdom. I thank you that you've called us by name, that you know every tear, every pain, and you're the God with us. So as a body, we just say amen. Amen.
Amen.